Greetings, dear friends and listeners. This is Pastor Rex Cat, and when I'm not a missionary cybernaut exploring the internet, I'm co-producing The Reverend Is In for Reverend Bookburn, live from Volta Radio most Sunday nights at 9 o'clock to 11 or so, Eastern Standard Time, USA, on Volta Radio.
I'm ready when you are. So testicle, 1-2, testes, 1-2. The big phallic microphone is working. I don't know why we test all mics, since you guys won't talk. The weapon of ass destruction is working. And the big John Holmes porn star microphone is working. So we are ready. Is that music blasting? Okay. Say when. These guys are in worse condition than the woman who is claiming to be Michelle Bachmann. Yes, I'm ready. Okay. Good evening. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight is a very special show, even though I say that every show. Tonight is Michelle Bachmann on Mushrooms, part two, and we did something a little different tonight. The last time, the woman here who was claiming to be Michelle Bachmann, and as you know, Pastor Wehrmaster and John the Craptist believe her, but they are also in highly suggestible states of mind. But the Reverend is skeptical if that is her true identity, even though she has the same psycho look that she has on the current cover of Newsweek magazine, normally a friend of the far right. But anyway, on the first part of the show, the woman who claimed to be Michelle Bachmann ingested the psychedelic mushrooms 45 minutes before the beginning of the show, and we thought, well, since she can't do it all week or for 2 weeks until the next show, we would try something a little different. So we had her ingest 2 hours ago, so kind of like a stage in the journey of a sociopath who ingested hallucinogenic properties of the psilocybin mushroom. So we're going to see if that makes a difference. And next show is part three. So yes, we are going to do it a third time and see what comes of it. At the beginning of this show, we're going to hear a couple of tracks from a Pebbles compilation. Pebbles was a natural outgrowth after Lenny Kaye, best known for being in the Patti Smith group. Lenny Kaye put together a compilation called Nuggets of the bands from the 60s who deserved more acknowledgement and recognition than what they got. And Nuggets was, of course, a legendary release. And Pebbles was an offshoot that other people started doing, and now there's like a zillion volumes of Pebbles. We're going to play from Volume 3, which was lesser-known psychedelic music. Pebbles Volume 3, The Acid Gallery. And you're going to hear a couple of tracks from that. But first, we're going to play... It's not from the soundtrack, but it's a song that was at the beginning of one of the funniest movies ever, one of the trippiest music movies ever. Now I'm talking like Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist. One of the trippiest movies ever, one of the funniest ever, one of the greatest ever, made in 1969, entitled The Magic Christian, with Peter Sellers, Ringo Starr, Raquel Welch, the Monty Python guys, before there was such a thing as Monty Python, and a whole lot of other people. I forget who the rest of them were, but it was funny, and it was a lot of great music. And we're going to begin and end with Magic Christian movie-related music. And we're going to start off with a track from early in the film. In fact, it's pretty much the beginning of the film. It's called... Oh, and we were arguing about this, too. If what you were going to hear from this Badfinger CD on Apple Records is the same version that's on the film, or if this is a different version. Yes, the creative and relevant debates that we engage in here at the Reverend is in at Volta Radio, but we are debating this. I say that this is an altered version from the version that appears in the film. Actually, no, not one of these guys. Both of these guys disagree and think it's the exact same. If you know the film, you be the judge. But this is from the beginning of the Magic Christian film. I am talking like these guys. A track by Badfinger entitled Carry On Till Tomorrow.
In younger days, I told myself my life would be my own, and I'd leave the place where sunshine never shone. Shadow. journey's done, I'll rest my weary head. For the world in its colors will be mine. For my life's too short for waiting. When I see the setting sun,
this is Deborah
and Keith
from the band Davey, and you're listening to Reverend Bookburn on The Reverend Is In at VoltaRadio.com.
Providing a moral support for indie bands and media since 2001.
Susie? Susie, come to us. This is the voice of your subconscious mind speaking, Susie. Susie, what's got in you? Wind up your closed mind and take a trip on mine, and you'll never want to touch the ground.
This is Halliburton, Ernie, and it's so good to be here tonight with Reverend Bookburn and Pastor Whoremaster, John the Craptist, and the woman who claims to be Michelle Bachman, who is now semi-peaking on mushrooms. And it's such a joy here at Volta Radio, and it is a pleasure to introduce a track from the always psychedelic Country Joe and the Fish, from their Together CD. This is Halliburton Ernie introducing a track entitled Waltzing in the Moonlight.
I find you waltzing in the moonlight. Nobody around you, nothing to sound unreal. I see this happening before me. I see this happen and your colors are drying. The eyes begin to shine with a glow. Do you know how strange it seems? Lost in a dream. Clock of my mind is winding you through. Sound you're making in the still. As though I'm dreaming, I seem to feel you and your warm and loving splendor. Tomorrow I'll remember your name. Do you know how strange it seems? Lost behind a dream. Lost and my mind is winding you. In the moonlight, I find you waltzing and there's nobody around you. Nothing to sound, you're unreal. I seem to feel as though I'm dreaming. I seem to feel you and your warm and loving splendor. Tomorrow I'll remember your name. Do you know how strange it seems? Lost behind a dream.
mundane was when you went away. But now you come back knocking on my door, and you'll say you're back to stay. But I say, go cry on somebody else's shoulder.
Okay, let's roll. Let's rock and roll.
You get nothing back for all you save. Just eternity in a spacious grave. Nothing is true. Everything is committed.
Plugged into amplifiers, and as their sound rose from the ground, it stoked the flames up higher. Then unto me, old Virge Dunn spoke.
Beelzebub is their king, and if you can above the din, you just might hear him sing.
Beelzebub is us preaching the word. Yes, go forth and multiply the word, my friends. I'm talking to all you fornicators, masturbators, and regurgitators. Oh, yeah, I'm a masturbator hater. I'm a fornicator hater. I am the right Reverend Beelzebub, and I speak the truth, the word of the big guy. We'll be right back.
they flock is the kind of heathens. And some of my people are eating the forbidden swine. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with pork ribs. Oh, no, pulled pork sandwiches. Pork, pickle and pimento loaf, my friend. It doesn't start with eating the pork. Some of you motherfuckers out there are laying down with the swine, putting your peckers in pigs, my friends. Lord, take it from us. Lord, God, can you save my people who are fucking pigs right now? Not only are some of y'all laying down with swine, but some of y'all are looking at your kinfolks. I know you live way back up in the hills. I know you take that methamphetamine and it gets y'all confused up in your brain. That's Satan working inside your brain. You live way up in the hills, and you take the methamphetamine, and you get your brain all confused. And the next thing you know, you're looking at your sister, you're looking at your mama, you're looking at your aunt, and you wanna fornicate, you wanna masturbate, you wanna create incest with family members. Oh yeah, your cousin is so good. She makes you dick hard in Chinese arithmetic. That's not God talking. That is Satan. Satan is in your rock hard move, dick. Lordy, lordy, lordy. You know, some of y'all eat the pork sandwich. Some of y'all pork the pig. Some of y'all look at your sister. That's right, and you want to make the beast with two backs with your own kinfolk. Doing the devil's work of incest, my friend. But it don't stop there. Oh, no, it don't stop with sister humping. Some of you men folks out there want to bone your brothers. That's right, you want to ride the rump. You can't wait to get to hell. You can't wait to get to HIV. Don't you remember what the good book said, my friend? It wasn't Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve.
CD by Dash Rip Rock. You heard Glossolalia is Such a Guess. And before that, also by Dash Rip Rock, Chariots of Hailfire. May Pang did Nothing is True. Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention did Who Are the Brain Police from the Freak Out CD, Frank Zappa's first album ever. Country Joe and the Fish did Waltzing in the Moonlight. Teddy and Patches did Susie Cream Cheese from the Pebbles Volume 3, the Acid Gallery CD. Deborah and Keith from the band Davey did Volta Radio Station ID and The Reverend Is In Promo. Higher Elevation did The Diamond Mine, and that is also from Pebbles Volume 3. And started off with a track from the film The Magic Christian by Badfinger, a track entitled Carry On Till Tomorrow. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on most, no, I don't even want to say most, many Sunday nights, whenever we can, at from 9 to 11 or so, East Coast Time USA at voltaradio.com. Updates and lots of delicious, juicy, lickable links, including music videos, updated always at reverendbookburn.com. Auto redirect to its new technical location, revbookburn.blogspot.com. And where we announce the next shows. And speaking of that, the next show is in 2 weeks on August 21st. And that will be the finale of this series. Michelle Bachman on Mushrooms, Part 3, the finale. And that will be in 2 weeks, Sunday, August 21st, here at VoltaRadio.com. And that's going to be pumping. And we're going to try even more experimentation with the sociopathic brain of Michelle Bachman. And I won't give away too much of it, but we're going to start her even earlier so that we catch her during the peaking time of her psychedelic experience. And that'll be fun. Do we have birthdays? We do not. Okay, yes, this is a very odd week. It's Hiroshima Day yesterday, but it is not a day of birthdays. Well, no deaths to report. Let's see, we covered Amy Winehouse on the last show, and if there's any more, I don't know about them. And and the woman from Reese's Bands, not Reese and the Rooters, after that. Thank you. Suburban Housewives. Risa and it was Ann Wilson who was the drummer. Okay, so we acknowledge them. So, we don't have to now. Let's see, we are... Well, shit. Okay. One funny thing in the news. This isn't a birthday or a death, but this is an almost death. You've known him as the Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters, the Waddling Man from the restaurant scene in Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, Krispy Kreme, and I forget some of them, Caligula in an oversized suit. But the budget hacking, lives destroying governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, did have a scare. He went down. They rushed him to the hospital. It was some kind of a respiratory failure. Gee, I can't imagine a man in that kind of health having a respiratory problem. But he did. And so I guess everybody was kind of hoping for good news, but sadly, there was no good news. He recovered and went back to work. But there was a good day of joking, you know, online and on Facebook. I guess it got past the fascists who watch what everybody says and what pictures they post. And so Governor Krispy Kreme gave us about a day and a half to 2 days worth of entertainment before it was all over. All right. I don't feel like doing announcements, really. No, maybe later. There's way too much shit. And, yeah, you have to prioritize. And I'm talking to these guys who refuse to speak into the microphone. They're just, they're impersonating without wanting to. The woman who was impersonating Michelle Bachmann, or at least I believe her to be the person, a person impersonating Michelle Bachmann, because even though she looks a little more like Michelle Bachmann, being that the new cover of Newsweek, usually a solid friend of the far right and the tea psychos and all that kind of shit, not to the extent that Fox News in quotes, and even more extreme bullshit outlets are, but still, they're pretty much a friend to the far right, and even though they put on their new cover a very deranged-looking picture of Michelle Bachmann, and our guest here does resemble that picture, so that gives credence to these guys who are saying quite seriously that this is, in fact, the real Michelle Bachmann who was in the studio, and I don't know what the fuck that is that she's doing. It looks like she's licking something in midair, but there's nothing there. Like, there's no genitals, there's no cotton candy, there's no anything observable in the air, but she is looking as if there is, and I do not believe that she is the real Michelle Bachmann, although it is a hoot, but she says she is. So what we did was, on part one of Michelle Bachmann on Mushrooms, we had her ingest hallucinogenic mushrooms. They're called psilocybin mushrooms, and she ingested them. We cleaned them. We made sure that there was little risk. Cleaned the outer coatings. You know, didn't want her getting sick or vomiting. Not on the Volta radio floor. That would be sick and inhumane. But we wanted it to be as potentially positive and eye-opening experience as possible for the woman who claims to be Michelle Bachmann. So they were clean and they were ingested around 45 minutes prior to what's 9 o'clock here in Philadelphia. And so we kind of got like the early stages of her experience, some giggling, some talking, and even some kind of illuminating statements from somebody who's ordinarily a speaker who makes statements that are as dumb as something uttered by George W. Bush or Dan Quayle or Glenn Beck or any other person who, if you did have to lump people in a category called total fucking idiots, you know, she would be there. And so I was impressed with what she said. However, tonight we decided, since she can't really realistically do this for two solid weeks, to give us a good show for part two, we had her ingest 2 hours prior to the opening song of tonight's show. And so we want to kind of catch her, you know, at a kind of a mid stage kind of point in her experience. And so for however long we do this, for 2 hours or however much we go over time, which we can do since nobody comes on after us anymore, what we will do is we will follow it up with part three, in which she's been going for hours. But yes, I meant to tell you guys that. Like somewhere, not noon, Pastor Whoremaster, but not that early, but maybe like 2 in the afternoon. You know, yeah, 1 or 2. John the Craptus, once 1 o'clock. But yeah, so it's like roughly 8 hours. Yeah, like towards the end. Like, yeah, the peaking time, exactly. Oh, these guys are such experts. Your regular high time traders, you guys. So we want to catch her like towards the end on the last show. Now, on the previous show, on part 1, she was actually saying that she felt that there was something happening in her head and in her heart that was quite common, or at least quite common in the early 60s, and here and there ever since, with the Rainbow People and Flaming Lips fans and the like, which is a genuine opening of the mind, a more humanitarian awareness, human connectedness, more human compassion from the least likely of all of the politicians, even in this era of a totally fucked up Congress and, you know, in a future destroying a body of legislature. We carefully chose the worst one and the ultimate sociopath in government to do this experiment on. But it was impressive that towards the end of the first show, she was expressing that while she was feeling an awakening of her mind and her heart, she could not put a stop to being on the road that she is on, being a queen of the teabagger psychos and the far right and slashing survival programs, and to further benefit corporate America and the wealthiest, like many of her fellow stooges in Congress. So it was interesting. So she was having that experience, but she couldn't leave the path she was on, but she felt like it was more of a theatrical thing, like now she was just role-playing and telling us how invested she is. But I don't want to really say anymore. I want to let her speak for herself, if she can in fact speak. Now, I am looking at a face that totally resembles that, Newsweek magazine picture someone sent to the Reverend today. Oh, and send me goodies. Email revbookburn@sjcdc.org, and thank you people who sent me great shit. Alright, so Michelle, if you are in fact the real Michelle, in our last episode you were talking about how you were going to stay on the same course, but that now it was role playing more for you, and even like a kind of a theatrical giggle. I believe those were your words as well. And I want to ask if that is still happening with all this crazy shit going on, like both parties signing off on this debt ceiling deal, this whole fucking scam. You know, where it was like, to do the debt ceiling, we're going to compromise on Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and other vital programs because we can't let the wealthiest contribute their share. The only good news that came out of it was there's some military cuts. But anyway, with the debt battle going on, are you still in a mode of thinking that you have to go along with all the crazy shit that's going on in Washington? Isn't there like a new shinier you that can kind of transcend all that horror?
Oh, I'm loving role play even more. When Marcus, my gay husband, who runs the ex-gay program at our faith-based mental health clinic, when he told me that he can't get hard unless I dress like a little boy, or most of all, an altar boy, I decided that I was going to be a debt ceiling negotiator in our role play. So I put on my little boy shorts and my beanie cap and started saying that I wanted to save Social Security and Medicare, but I couldn't say it without laughing. And then Marcus got a kind of a half a hard on, which is as good as it gets. That's pretty good for him. And so he decided that if I role play like a young male who is negotiating the debt ceiling and trying to save his poor, precious social programs, his little dick can get some function for a little while. So, you're right, Reverend. It is role play. And we were role playing to the debt ceiling crisis and the deeper destruction of the American middle class and working class and the future and all that. But it was so much fun. And it was like, well, even though it was after my first experience two Sunday nights ago, a part of me still felt like I was in that, I don't know what to call it, I guess that flashing part. And so, yeah, I guess I was a flasher, but that only works on my husband when I look like a boy, which I kind of do anyway, but since I, but when I really go out of my way to look like one and wear a strap on, that's when it gets him. But I was still feeling like the kind of flashing stage, and it was hard to not laugh when I was making all those statements about eliminating spending and not supporting the debt deal because it wasn't extreme enough, and encouraging the tea psychos, who are actually kind of cute, and I wish you would stop calling them that, Reverend, because, and some of them can even fuck, not many, but a few of them, you know, going by backstage at some of my speaking events. But it was fun role-playing, and even the public statements were fun role-playing. It was like I was the grand performer at the opera, and I was the star, and the spotlights were on me. And so it was fun, and even though I've kind of lost my deep-seated hatred against non-white people and homosexuals and people who aren't rich, still, it was fun having a kind of a theatrical game at their expense and playing around with role play and public speaking and using it for role play at home with Marcus.
I just don't know what the fuck to say to that. So, in trying to bridge the gap between Timothy Leary's ideas in the 60s that a fascist would not wake up necessarily with the use of hallucinogenics versus Abbie Hoffman's theory in the 60s that it is exactly what they need and that they would probably do a turnaround and next thing you know we'd find them skinny dipping in the Potomac and declaring the end of war and servitude to the corporate barons, etc. Somehow she's in the middle and it's all a big game to her, but she's not going to change, even though she felt that her mind and her heart were kind of opened up. And I don't want to go so far as to say deprogrammed, but certainly more, dare I say, enlightened than anyone ever dreamt possible. I'm not sure where to go from here, but we're going to go back to the music. We spoke last week of how nobody ever consumed a fatal overdose of hallucinogenics in the 60s or afterwards. That's why a lot of the 60s generation were saying, you know, pot and hash are good. Hallucinogenics, if you're careful and in a good mindset and in a good setting and you're careful and you're not recently traumatized or anything like that, but that harder drugs were not cool, hence the people who overdosed on like harder chemical drugs. But there were still a kind of a casualties of acid and various hallucinogenics. And we're going to hear from both of them. The first was Syd Barrett, who was the founder of Pink Floyd and wrote pretty much the entirety of the first album, The Piper at the Gates of Dawn. And he was on, I think, half of the second one, A Saucer Full of Secrets. And he took an extreme amount and he was hospitalized and he was pretty fucked up for a really long time. And when he came out, he did two very strange albums, The Madcap Laughs and Barrett. And, Opal came out. You guys are conscious. And in the CD era, The Best of Syd Barrett has a lot of these kinds of songs. We're gonna hear from Syd Barrett, and after that we're gonna hear from Skip Spence. Both of these guys have recently died, meaning in recent years, and of natural causes. But at the time, Skip Spence, who was the original drummer of Jefferson Airplane, just on the first album, and was later in Moby Grape for a long time before he did his extreme consumption experience. He also did some strange albums, one of which is a kind of a cult classic to a lot of people. Alexander Skip Spence came out of his hospitalization or institutionalization, whatever you want to call it, and did an album called Or. And some people in more recent decades actually did a tribute album, not just to Skip Spence, but a tribute to the Skip Spence album entitled More Or. And we're going to hear tracks from all of these, starting with Syd Barrett, because, well, we're doing it for Michelle, or the woman who claims to be Michelle Bachmann, even though I don't believe her. Just to kind of see if she relates to these tracks, you know, from the big guns from psychedelia. So, first, this is Syd Barrett doing Gigolo Ant.
Moving around in a trench coat with the satin on trail. Seems to be all around it dead. The blue and the gray seems to be all on its road.
Song from some reggae-ish sounding group from the bonus CD that comes with the DVD version of Sex, Drugs, and Democracy, a documentary about Amsterdam in the 90s. The track is by Rising Lion, and it's the song from one of the songs from the Easy Rider film entitled Don't Bogart Me.
My friend, just about to the end.
We'll be right back.
This incredible CD entitled Pretty in Black. Before the Ravenettes, Das Damon did Piggy in the Middle from Shimmy Disc Records. It was entitled Ruddles Highway Revisited, a tribute to the Ruddles. Before that, the Beatles did I Am the Walrus from Magical Mystery Tour. Rising Lion did Don't Bogart Me from the tribute to the Skip Spence Ure album. You heard Robert Plant doing Little Hands. Before that, Skip Spence from the original Ure album did Little Hands, and started off with Syd Barrett doing Gigolo Ant. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight the theme is Michelle Bachman on Mushrooms, Part 2. And yes, there will be a Part 3 if you tuned in late. In 2 weeks, on August 21st, the finale, the last edition of it, in which she will begin early in the afternoon here on the East Coast in the USA in beautiful Philadelphia. She'll start several hours before the show begins. Tonight, she began 2 hours before the show began, and I don't even know what to say about what's going on right now. But Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist are laughing their heads off, and I think I know why. Because even though I don't believe her, the woman who claims that she is the real Michelle Bachman is holding a picture and masturbating, and I think it's funny enough that somebody is masturbating while tripping, but that's just me. If one of you guys, no, I'm not getting up. If one of you guys want to go over there and see who the picture is, I'm pretty sure it's not Marcus Bachman. So I'm going to see, like, you know, who's getting her off, or whose picture is getting her, is it Glenn Beck, or Rush Limpdick or Sean Hannity, and the latest admitted limpster, or well, who is it? Just find out who it is. You know, is it you know, some white supremacist leader, an anti-abortion terrorist? You know, one of the people she normally likes. Oh, you gotta be kidding. You are shitting me. You're serious. Michelle, could I see the picture? I don't believe these guys. You know, I think they're prankster wannabes and psychedelic prankster wannabes. Oh, you are fucking right. I thought you were bullshitting. I thought, no, you're just saying that. I didn't believe it till she turned it around. That really is a picture of the Norwegian terrorist who recently did the bombings and shootings and yelling racist stuff and screaming about immigrants and socialists and blah, 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 blah. Michelle, I hate to interrupt a masturbation session, even on a show that celebrates National Masturbation Month every May, but can we discuss masturbating over the Norwegian terrorist's picture?
Reverend, this man is hot. He is not just eye candy, but he is such a right-on guy. He hates Islamic people. He hates immigration. He hates socialists. He hated people from the Norwegian Labour Party. He hated unions. He's such a wonderful man, and I was just fantasizing getting a permit in Norway to give him a conjugal visit.
Well, Michelle, always, I encourage people to live the lifestyle of their choice, but just to be open about it. And I'm assuming that you and fellow family values touting Marcus don't have an open relationship, but even if you do, how is he going to feel about you getting banged in a prison with a terrorist and a racist and a crazed killer?
Oh, I know it would turn him on. He would ask me so many questions about his cock because he would want it too. In fact, he would want to join me, but I don't want him joining. I want him all to myself. And it'll turn him on, just like when I got gangbanged by gay bashers and Klansmen and members of the skinhead Nazis. Marcus was like behind a two-way mirror, and he was masturbating during the whole time. And I didn't complain because I was with men who can function. Well, some of them could. The others, you know, were just shouting slogans and stuff.
So, I'm guessing this is not just something during your trip of tonight, but you really do sexually desire whatever the fuck his name is, Breivik or something, the Norwegian terrorist. You really desire him?
Oh, all the time. It's just that tonight was the first time I even considered publicly masturbating to his photo. And if you didn't interrupt, I would have at least almost came to a climax. I'm not used to climaxing because, you know, I live with Marcus. And, you know, now he follows me around on my speaking tours, you know, because if I get a man to fuck, you know, whether it's Andrew Breitbart or Rush Limbaugh, although he can't function either, or some other crazed right-wing guy, Marcus will want to steal him from me, and I don't like that. But he's always tagging along, you know. He even wanted to steal Pastor Ted Haggard from me, and I was the first woman he was with since the early days of his marriage with his wife.
Okay. Well, that's a little more mental imagery than I was looking for, but we're going to let you go back to the masturbating.
Oh, good.
And we're going to get back to the third set of music, and I hope you're appreciating the killer playlist that we brought for your hallucinogenic journey. And speaking of that, we're going to go back in time to that time period mentioned in the corporate media as the 60s. It is the second album by the Electric Prunes, the album entitled Underground. And it's hard to pick a track from the CD because the whole fucking thing is great. But we shall. And it still plays in my head every so often. This is the Electric Prunes doing Dr. Do-Good.
Head, 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 head suck it.
They're coming!
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hereby dedicate this magnificent marble modern architecture, one of the largest suspended arch bridges in the world, to the Meatball.
I love to laugh loud and long and clear. I love to laugh. It's getting worse every year. The more I laugh, the more I fill with glee. And the more the glee, the more I'm a merrier me. It's embarrassing. The more I'm a merrier me.
Some people laugh through their noses, sounding something like this. Dreadful. Some people laugh through their teeth, goodness sakes, hissing and fizzing like snakes. Not at all attractive to my way of thinking.
Some laugh too fast. Some only blast. Others, they twitter like birds.
You know, you're as bad as he is.
Then there's a kind what can't make up their mind. When things strike me as funny, I can't hide it inside and squeak. As the squeakers do. I got to let go with a ho. And we love to laugh loud and long and clear. We love to laugh so everybody can hear. The more you laugh, the more you fill with glee, the more the glee, the more we're a merrier people.
got their fingers.
They got their fingers in the telephone dial. But me, I think I'll just wait a little while. Cause when the city drops into the night, before the darkness, there's one moment of
poem, and I want to talk about our Santa tea bagging party. People, these tea parties were not I Hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These were to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own teabagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our teabags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting teabagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the tea bagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail tea bagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And teabag a liberal Dem before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
Oh, shit, man. Put out a warning when you do one of those, man.
It's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a runner-up. Sunday, August 7th, 2011, at VoltaRadio.com, ReverendBookburn.com, and RadioForAll.net. The runner-up to Asshole of the Week is a propagandistic corporate media outlet called CNN. And I can't believe these assholes never received this award before. CNN is not, of course, as bullshit-worthy as Fox, quote, news, end quote, or the, quote, history, end quote, channel, by a considerable measure. Nonetheless, they are complete bullshit artists, and I had the pleasure of watching them during a recent summertime visit from Hippie John, and he did have to leave before tonight's show, in which it was amazing to watch their coverage of the debt ceiling battle, followed by ad after ad from the far-right Koch brothers, T-Psycho, GOP extreme wing kind of sponsors about the spending, the quote spending, end quote, of Obama, followed by propagandistic coverage and plenty of interviews, including with our guests, of people who were using it to push the far-right agenda. Corporate media propagandists, CNN, runners-up to Asshole of the Week. And that means that we need a special recipient who could even outshine the runner-up. It We need the fart sounds, please. Yes, fart sounds for Asshole of the Week, starting with Cheech from Cheech and Chong. Thank you. Much better. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is not a person. It isn't even a group of people. It is two groups of people. Two political parties, both of which are corporate stooge parties, one just more extreme than the other. Tonight, Asshole of the Week is all participants, all yes votes to the debt ceiling deal that harms seniors, children, and the poor, the unemployed, and countless people who will be further fucked and not in the Bachman and Norwegian terrorist kind of pleasurable way, but with their lives further sabotaged. The people who voted for the deal that does not tax the rich and makes even more cuts to survival programs. You are Asshole of the Week. All right, now, kill the fart sounds, please. Thank you. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Lara Hoare, and that was the 2009 version. Before Ms. Terry, you heard the Cooters doing Static Age and TV Casualty from their incredible Chaos or Bust CD. Stoma Boy with Marrow did City Drops into the Night from the incredible double CD Put Your Tongue to the Rail. The Philly Comp for Catholic Children. Songs of the Jim Carroll Band. Before that, you heard Rev Bookburn's animation theme. From the Mary Poppins soundtrack, you heard I Love to Laugh. From the Monkees soundtrack to their classic 1968 film, you heard the introduction of the film and Porpoise Song, and started off with the Electric Prunes doing Dr. Do-Good. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been Michelle Bachman on Mushrooms, Part 2. And on the next edition of Reverend Bookburn's The Reverend Is in 2 weeks, on August 21st, the climax, the peak, the flashing, if you will, the grand finale, Michelle Bachman on Mushrooms Part 3, in which we will get an even earlier start, and that'll be the last of the series. That is in 2 weeks on August 21st, and I can't really see, because she's kind of like in this semi-adjacent room, and is she still masturbating to the Norwegian terrorist picture? Yes, according to John Necraptist. Yes, she's masturbating and she's commenting about immigrants and socialists. Okay, Michelle, a woman who claims to be Michelle Bachman, aren't you a descendant of European illegal immigrants who raped, pillaged, and committed mass murder and expansionism and thievery and crimes against humanity. Just asking. Okay, get, no, don't get up. keep masturbating to your Norwegian fantasy. Write to the Reverend at revbookburn@sjcdc.org. We expect tonight's show, if there are no technical difficulties, to be at Radio 4 All, Radio numeral 4 All.net. Thanks to our dear friend, co-producer, archivist, engineer from afar, and longest-term book burner in the current picture, Pastor Rex Cat, and thank you as always. Thank you and shout outs Murgatroyd Productions, DJ Cindy and Jeff of Volta Radio, and a shitload of others. And you can check out the always updated reverendbookburn.com. Technically now revbookburn.blogspot.com, but if that's too much to penetrate your brain, it'll redirect from reverendbookburn.com. On YouTube, youtube.com/revbookburn. On MySpace, myspace.com/reverendbookburn. On Facebook, where the Facebook fascist police do not allow Rev or Reverend to be a first name, the Rev, last name Bookburn. And on the info tab, a link to Pages, the Reverend Bookburn fan site. Once again, August 21st, in 2 weeks, the final installment, Michelle Bachmann on Mushrooms, Part 3. And I'll let you know if one of these guys smells her fingers as we prepare to exit here. We are going to play a final tune and then get out of here. We have begun the show. We began the show tonight with a film, with a song from the film The Magic Christian. And the opening song of tonight's show was either the very beginning or very close to the beginning of The Magic Christian, a must-see film from 1969. Not, and you don't have to be in the state of mind of the woman who claims to be Michelle Bachmann, but it's called The Magic Christian, starring Peter Sellers, Ringo Starr, Raquel Welch, the Monty Python guys before there was such a thing as Monty Python, and a whole lot more great music. And we began with the opening, a song near the beginning by Badfinger, and we are going to close with a track towards the end of the film. The artist is Thunderclap Newman. The song produced by Pete Townshend of The Who, and is the climax of the movie. I know, I said climax twice. I'm busy watching Michelle. It is the climax of the Magic Christian film by Thunderclap Newman, entitled Something in the Air. Good night.
first thing I want to say is mandate my ass. Because it seems as though we've been convinced that 26% of the registered voters, not even 26% of the American people, but 26% of the registered voters form a mandate or a landslide. 21% voted for Skippy and 3-4% voted for somebody else who might have been right. But oh yeah, I remember in this year that we have now declared the year from Shogun to Reagan, I remember what I said about Reagan. Minute. Acted like an actor. Hollywood. Acted like a liberal. Acted like General Franco when he acted like governor of California. Then he acted like a Republican. Then he acted like somebody was going to vote for him for president. And now we act like 26% of the registered voters is actually a mandate. We're all actors in this, I suppose. What has happened is that in the last 20 years, America has changed from a producer to a consumer. And all consumers know that when the producer names the tune, the consumer has got to dance. That's the way it is. We used to be a producer, very inflexible at that, and now we are consumers and finding it difficult to understand. Natural resources and minerals will change your world. The Arabs used to be in the third world. They have bought the second world and put a firm down payment on the first one. Controlling your resources will control your world. This country has been surprised by the way the world looks now. They don't know if they want to be Matt Dillon or Bob Dylan. They don't know if they want to be diplomats or continue the same policy of nuclear nightmare diplomacy. John Foster Dulles ain't nothing but the name of an airport now. The idea concerns the fact that this country wants nostalgia. They want to go back as far as they can, even if it's only as far as last week. Not to face now or tomorrow, but to face backwards. And yesterday was the day of our cinema heroes riding to the rescue at the last possible moment. The day of the man in the white hat or the man on the white horse. Or the man who always came to save America at the last moment. Someone always came to save America at the last moment. Especially in B-movies. And when America found itself having a hard time facing the future, they looked for people like John Wayne. But since John Wayne was no longer available, they settled for Ronald Reagan. And it has placed us in a situation that we can only look at like a B-movie. Come with us back to those inglorious days when heroes weren't zeros. Before fair was square, when the cavalry came straight away and all American men were like Hemingway to the days of the wondrous B-movie. The producer, underwritten by all the millionaires necessary, will be Casper the Defensive Weinberger. No more animated a choice is available. The director will be Attila the Hague, running around frantically declaring himself in control and in charge. The ultimate realization of the inmates taking over at the asylum. The screenplay will be adapted from the book called Voodoo Economics by George Papadoc Bush. Music by the village people, the very military, macho man. A theme song for saber rattling and selling wars door to door. Remember, we're looking for the closest thing we can find to John Wayne. Clichés abound like kangaroos, courtesy of some spaced-out Marlon Perkins, a Reagan contemporary. Clichés like itchy trigger finger and tall in the saddle and riding off or on into the sunset. Clichés like get off of my planet by sundown. More so than clichés like he died with his boots on. Marine tough to manage, Bogart tough to manage, Cagney tough to manage, Hollywood tough to manage, cheap steak tough, and Bonzo substantial. Ultimate in synthetic selling, a Madison Avenue masterpiece, a miracle, a cotton candy politician, pesto macho, macho, macho. Put your orders in America, and quick as Kodak, your leaders duplicate with the accent being on the dupes. Because all of a sudden we have fallen prey to selective amnesia, remembering what we want to remember and forgetting what we choose to forget. All of a sudden the man who called for a bloodbath on our college campuses is supposed to be Dudley goddamn Do-Right. You go give them liberals hell, Ronnie. That was the mandate to the new Captain Bly on the new ship of fools. It was doubtlessly based on his chameleon performance in the past.
as a liberal Democrat, as the head of the Studio Actors Guild, when other celluloid saviors were cringing in terror from McCarthy, Ron stood tall. It goes all the way back from Hollywood to Hillbilly, from liberal to libelous, from Bongo to Birchite or Born Again. Civil rights, women's rights, gay rights, it's all wrong. Call in the cavalry to disrupt this perception of freedom gone wild. God damn it, first one wants freedom, then the whole damn world wants freedom. Nostalgia, that's what we want. The good old days, when we gave them hell. When the buck stopped somewhere and you could still buy something with it. To a time when movies was in black and white, and so was everything else. Even if we go back to the campaign trail, before Six Gun Ron shot off his face and developed hoof and mouth. Before the free press went down before full court press and were reluctant to view the menu because they knew the only thing available was Crow. Lon Chaney, our man of a thousand faces. No match for Ron. Doug Henning does the makeup. Special effects from Grecian Formula 16 and Crazy Glue. Transportation furnished by the David Rockefeller Remote Control Company. Their slogan is, why wait for 1984? You can panic now and avoid the rush. So much for the good news. Goes, so goes the nation, and here's a look at the closing numbers. Racism is up, human rights are down, peace is shaky, war items are hot, the house claims all ties, jobs are down, money is scarce, and common sense is at an all-time low in heavy trading. Movies were looking better than ever, and now no one is looking because we're starring in a B-movie, and we would rather had John Wayne. We would rather had.
lying on an eiderdown. Yippee, you can't see me, but I can you. Blazing in the foggy dew, sitting on a unicorn. No fear, you can't hear me, but I can. Watching buttercups cup the light, sleeping on a dandelion. Too much, I won't touch you, but then I might. Streaming through the starlit sky, traveling by telephone.
station through. There's not no time to run away to Maya. Oh, we could only lose. And our love become a funeral fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, light my fire. Try to set a night on fire.
Thank you. Curiosity quick comes, questions arise. Pick out the fools, show me the wise. Who's to know and what's to show? Is amber the step between stop and go? Sing, but is summer, winter, autumn, spring? What is time within my mind? Is a red rose red to a man who's blind?
into space. One day, sitting up in my bed, surrounded by a few Sunday papers and their color supplements, all of them superficially interesting, happily unaware that somewhere somebody was aware, that somewhere somebody was awake and well, undisturbed, living on. Dancing quite speedily through assortments of horrible illustrations of atrocities and apologies of editors, but they felt it was necessary for people to see the pictures on no account were they attempting to boost their paper's circulation. I felt a wave close my eyes, which was worse. I was, I suppose, quite at ease at home with my food, brought up at intervals from my bed, with all the sympathy I could want, and with all the time in the world to write thank you letters to all the people kind enough to send Christmas presents, and they knew I was really there.